We're going to have our Bible reading now this morning. The verse, if you're joining us, we've been looking through a series on the Ten Commandments. The commandment we're going to think about this morning is you shall not steal, from Exodus 20, verse 15, you shall not steal. We're going to have two readings from other parts of the Bible, however. The first reading is from Luke chapter 19. It's on page 1053. A really famous part of Luke's gospel. Luke 19 says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. A second reading is from Ephesians chapter 4. It's on page 1175 of the Church Bibles. And Ailey's going to read from verse 17.
Ephesians 4, verse 17. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need.
This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please have your Bible open at Luke 19. You'll find that helpful. Luke 19, and I will pray. Our Father in heaven, we want to be made new in the attitude of our minds and to put on the new self, created to be like you in true righteousness and holiness. Help us now to do that as we come to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke 19. I picture the scene. You got up this morning, you realized there was no milk in the fridge. You had a wander up the road to Costcutter to grab a cheeky pint of milk. When you're in there, someone holds up the shop. Okay? Someone holds up the shop, grabs the takings, does a runner-up Bush Hill towards the golf course. You're late for church because you've got to stay. You've got to give a statement when the police finally turn up. You make it to church, but as you walk in the door, your jaw drops because sitting over there, I'm not pointing at anyone in particular, but sitting over there is the person who did a runner with the tail. What do you do? Would you go and sit next to them? After church, would you invite them home for lunch? Or are you sitting on the other side with one hand on your phone and the other hand on your wallet? What about over coffee time? As you get talking to them and they say to you, well, 2 months ago, I became a Christian. Would that change what you said to them? Could someone really be a Christian and rob Costcutter? Well, why ask that? The 8th commandment that we're thinking about today says, you shall not steal. But I wonder if you noticed the last verse we read in Ephesians 4. It said this, anyone who's been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Okay, what is Paul assuming in the local church at Ephesus, a bit like this one? What does he assume that some of the church members there have been about, the followers of Jesus? Stealing. Yeah. That there must have been someone there who had been nicking stuff or been breaking into people's houses or robbing Costcutter or whatever it was. He wouldn't have had to say it if there wasn't. Now you might think, I'm not a thief. You shall not steal. Well, that's an easy one for me. I've got that. As we've looked through the list of 10 commandments, you might have thought, I can put a tick next to that one. As Christians, life is messy. I hope we would never give the impression that we don't struggle with anything as followers of Jesus. Paul still presumes that flesh is weak, that sin entangles, that repentance is going to have to be ongoing. I hope we don't give the impression that this or any local church is full of perfect people who have got life sorted, because I know you and you know me, that's not true. And I hope we would never suggest that the message of the Lord Jesus is sort your life out and then come and be a Christian, because that is not true. Paul's expectation is that in a local church like this one, we'll be in bad company. But by the kindness of the Lord Jesus, by his saving, life-giving work on the cross, Paul says, anyone who's stealing must steal no longer. We can be changed. We can be transformed. Christians, with the help of the Lord Jesus, don't need to be selfish stealers, but we can be generous givers. And that's why the 8th commandment is good news for us today. First of all, it's good news for thieves because it exposes our sin. Okay, show of hands. Who's ever had the experience of their house being broken into? Anyone ever had their wallet or purse nicked? Anyone ever had their car nicked? Few people that had that. It is horrible when someone violates your private property. It is. They reckon that at least £2 billion a year in goods is taken by shoplifters. In the year 2021, so the year of the pandemic, you would think a quiet year, nearly 250,000 people were convicted of shoplifting. There are 817 burglaries a day in the UK. That's one every 100 seconds. And that's the ones that are reported. There are 90,000 robbery offences a year. You and I might think, do not steal. That's a kind of pretty common thing. Like, you know, surely everyone believes that. Doesn't seem to be the case. The facts and figures don't seem to play that out. Stealing is an offense, not only against the person or a company, It doesn't only just break the laws of the land. Stealing is a sin against God. I wonder if you've ever thought of it this way. God is the owner of everything. Psalm 50 verse 12 says, "The world is mine and all that is in it." Everything belongs to God. We are just caretakers of what he's entrusted to us. As my granny used to say, what do you enter the world with? What do you leave the world with? So the stuff that we've got or we get during our lives, it's just been kind of, we're caretakers of it. God's given it to our trust. But it means that when you steal from a person or company, ultimately you're sinning against God. Think as a case in Luke 19. I think it's pretty clear that he's a thief, that he's not regarded of a pillar of society. He's a chief tax collector, we're told in verse 2, and he was wealthy. Now, these men were notorious in the first century. Basically, I think the system worked a bit like this. So you're given a quota of money that you've got to collect and then hand over to the ruling authorities, and anything else you collect in the top, you can put in your pocket. And that seems to what's been going on. Being a chief tax collector, Zacchaeus was head of the local tax office. I presume there was a team of people working for him, and after he'd paid them off and paid the Romans, there was a nice little pile of money. He didn't care, it seems, about ripping people off. He was held in the sort of esteem that I suspect that our society holds child molesters in that kind of bracket. Now you might think, well, he's a white-collar criminal, or he's like one of them bankers that rip off poor people. Don't think like that. Zacchaeus, well, his life gives us the sort of example of things that the eighth commandment exposes. Let me give you a few. So the eighth commandment exposes what we might call direct stealing, theft. Now I imagine not many of us, as I look around the room, are going to pull off a bank job, okay? Nor are we going to get our mates together in some minis and go to Italy and steal a truckload of gold. But I suspect in a room this size, there will have been people who have nicked stuff from a shop, maybe as a kid. How many of us have streamed music illegally or watched a sporting event illegally or streamed a movie illegally? That is theft. If you don't pay your TV license and watch it, that's theft. Now, we can validate it in all sorts of ways. Well, I'm the little guy, and those are big companies, and they don't... It is theft. There's direct stealing. There's deceitful theft. The Inland Revenue in 2018-19 thought it lost about £4.5 billion due to tax evasion. They don't even know how much money is lost each year on benefit fraud. Billions. Think of the schools or the hospitals that could have been built, the roads that could have been fixed, or the nurses or policemen and women that could have been employed. Now you might think, does it really matter if I'm a bit cagey on my tax return? Yes. Does it matter if I claim benefits I'm not entitled to? Yes. It's stealing. You break the eighth commandment. Don't diddle the system. Pay your taxes. God sees it. Now, here's another way, borrowing and not returning, okay? Now, you might think, well, that's not a big offense. Well, if you borrowed a hammer 10 years ago, it's still sitting in your shed, you've nicked it. Or a DVD, you know, whatever it is. If it's not yours, give it back. Something else, delaying to repay a debt. I'm not talking about paying your mortgage, okay? I'm talking about if someone lends you a few quid and you say, well, I'll pay that back, and then you avoid them or don't answer the phone or hope they never ask, you've nicked it. Pay it. Don't hope the other person forgets. Now, they might say, oh, don't worry about that, which is great, but offer to pay. That might also be a bill to a company. Don't wait for the second and third letter with a red writing on it. Pay the bills that you're due to pay, pay them on time. Here's a big one. It's theft if we misuse an employer's time or resources. How many of us call in sick when we're not? Stealing. Turning up late, going home early, taking a longer break. Theft. When I worked in Glasgow, I knew some world-class skivers, okay? I don't know how people skive these days, but when I worked at McDonald's when I was a student, there was a guy who could walk around for hours with a brush in his hand, and no one ever questioned it. When I worked in an office, there was a guy that would walk around with a piece of paper in his hand with some lines that he'd typed out, and he could walk around the office for ages. One of my mates, after a heavy night of drinking, would come in feeling rough as anything. He would go to the toilet, and he'd sit down and lean his head against the wall, and he'd be there for an hour. That's stealing. That's misusing employers' time and resources. Skiving is stealing. So is helping yourself to the supply cupboard. Everyone else might be doing it. That doesn't make it right. Whoever the person is stealing toilet rolls from church, no. If it's got to that stage, come and ask. I want to help. We all want to help. Okay? I'm not giving you into trouble. If money's that tight, we want to help. And we will help. This is a family. You don't need to nick that stuff. If you're an employer or boss or line manager, or you have some control in that way, you can be stealing if you don't pay your employees well, a fair wage, an honest wage. Stop doing it. When we sin, when we steal in faith, we're stealing God's glory for ourselves. Christians are called by the Lord Jesus to be salt and light, to show that there's a better way to live. You see, at the root of stealing is selfishness, that selfish, self-centered thing that says, if I want it, I'm going to have it, and I don't care what God says. And if you think you or I or the people in this church have never done any of the things that I've just mentioned, you're deluded. I'm a thief. I've broken the eighth commandment, as I suspect in some way or other you have as well. These commandments expose our sin in all sorts of ways. But I want to suggest that's good news for us this morning, because whenever God exposes our sin, he always wants to bring us towards hope. Now, here's good news for eighth commandment breakers this morning. We have a Savior who searches for us. Zacchaeus wanted to meet Jesus, verse 3. He wanted to see who Jesus was because he was so short he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. He's so short, he's got to climb a tree. I wonder, did he have a guilty conscience about ripping all those people off? Did he want to see Jesus because he'd made all this money and realized that it wasn't the answer to life's big questions? At the very least, Zacchaeus' riches seems to have alienated him from people. He seems pretty friendless. And I wonder if he'd went to see Jesus because he'd heard the Lord Jesus tell a story. Look across the page. Look at Luke 18, the far left column. See what it says there, the little headline? The parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And I wonder if Zacchaeus has heard about that story about a tax collector who asks for mercy from God and God shows it to him. Perhaps Zacchaeus thought, well, if the Lord Jesus can tell stories like that about tax collectors, maybe he can say that about me. But here's a surprise, certainly for Zacchaeus. He thought he'd gone to seek Jesus that day. But actually, the Lord Jesus had come to seek him. Verse 5. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up to him and said, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. If you've not put two and two together, he knew where Zacchaeus was. He knew the tree. He knew his name, even though he'd never met him before. And I presume that means he knew everything else about him, that he was a thief, a cheat, a traitor. And that, I think, is one of the points of this story. Jesus called him down because Zacchaeus, this eighth commandment breaker, was exactly the kind of person the Lord Jesus came to seek and to save. A guilty sinner, a tax collector, a thief. And these kind of characters come up again and again in Luke's gospel. You probably know some of these characters. And in Luke chapter 5, the Lord Jesus speaks to a man called Levi, who is a tax collector, and says, hey, come follow me. And Levi invites all his tax collector mates to come and have a great party. And they have a great time. And the religious leaders turn up and say, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors? Because Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus says it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but those who are ill. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. In Luke 7, the Lord Jesus again is accused of being a friend of tax collectors and sinners. In Luke 15, Jesus tells some parables. The lost coin, the lost sheep, the lost son. Who's gathered round? Tax collectors and sinners. And the religious leaders mutter again, look at this guy. He welcomes sinners and eats with them. Yeah, dead right he does. As Jesus dies on the cross, what do we call the guy who's on the next cross? The last person probably to have a conversation with Jesus. And it's that guy, the thief, that Jesus assures will be with him in heaven that very day. The eighth commandment leads us to a Savior who comes looking for those who to any degree have broken this command. That's why the Lord Jesus had to die. He dies in a place of lawbreakers and thieves. And we might think of ourselves as very respectable people, but we are sinners who have broken the eighth command. You know, when sin is exposed, well-worn path is to look for people who are worse than you. Look at verse 7. All the people saw this. There's a lot of muttering in Luke's gospel. All the people saw this and began to mutter. He's gone to be the guest of a sinner. They thought Zacchaeus was dreadful. And they were smug and self-righteous. But actually, under the spotlight of God's word, we're all sinners. I've done this. I need the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus to deal with my eighth commandment breaking. And salvation came to Zacchaeus' house that day. And because Jesus has died and rose again, salvation can come to this house, to your house today. At the cross, the Lord Jesus was treated as a bank robber, a shoplifter, a white-collar thief, a tax evader, a benefit fraudster, a skiver, a stealer of office supplies. He was punished for all those sins so that salvation could come to our house. He faced a penalty so that we would never. And if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus this morning for yourself, he's walked up to you today. And he said your name. And he said, come down. Because I've come to seek and to save you. He wants you to be rescued from the punishment of hell that our eighth commandment breaking deserves. Don't turn away from our searching Savior. Whether that's the first time or the thousandth time you've had to go for it, ask for his mercy. And as you do that, there's a third piece of good news for eighth commandment breakers this morning. It's this: we can change. We can change. Because of the Lord Jesus, the change in Zacchaeus is phenomenal. Verse 8 again. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." I think there's a word here. It's mentioned twice that tells us why this change in Zacchaeus has happened. It's Lord. Lord. I imagine before this, Zacchaeus had thought, I'm in charge of my life. I can do what I want. If I'm going to rip people off, well, so what? It just means that I can get more money. But having received the salvation of Jesus, there's a change. He had a new Lord over his life. It wasn't that he just stopped ripping people off. Kind of, he'd done away with the negative, but there was a positive. Whenever the Lord Jesus saves us, we turn away from sin and we turn to something better. What does he say? I'm going to pay people back. I'm going to make restitution. If I've diddled anyone, I'll pay back four times the amount. His outlook is totally different. Ephesians 4:28 again. Ephesians 4 is one of those passages which tell us really helpful ways what it means to live with the Lord Jesus as Lord. Anyone who's been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. See that change? Stop stealing. Instead, work so that you've got something that you can share with others. Stop stealing. Stop the selfishness. Be a generous giver. That's the change. God can look at someone who robs Costcutter, or he can look at someone who diddles the taxis, or skies, or whatever it is, and he says, I can do something with them. By the power of the Lord Jesus, they can be transformed. Maybe this morning, as a result of this, there's someone you need to pay back. And maybe you've got to pay back more than they gave you. Maybe you've got a bunch of books or DVDs or tools to return. Return them. Maybe you need to phone up the Inland Revenue and confess that you diddled your taxes. You've been doing it for years. Maybe you've got to declare truthfully what benefits you really should be getting. Whenever the Lord Jesus enters our lives, he will always touch our pockets, our money. He will always start to unloosen our grip and our possessions. He'll always start to change us from being selfish, I'm just going to gather stuff and possessions, and make us generous. And if you're a follower of Jesus, and you don't give to his work, either here or elsewhere, you need to start. Stop stealing from God and give to his work. Now, often I'm asked here, Tuggy, why don't you speak about money very often? Well, I say, well, I do when it comes up in the text. So here, just for a moment, okay? If you want to know how to give to this local church, speak to Nigel. Nigel gives, that's Nigel, okay? He will tell you the best way to do that, whether it's money in an envelope or change from down the back of your sofa or whatever it is. You know, gift aid, Nigel's a person to speak to if you want to give to the work of this local church. And if you're a Christian, you should. Young people, start now. You might think you've got very little money, but starting now will get and process, hopefully, a lifetime of giving to the Lord's work. You may be on a fixed income or a student or whatever it is. Start giving. Give a little bit of it. It's what we should do. If you do give, have you reviewed what you're giving? Please speak to us about this. The Lord Jesus has been more generous to us than anyone else ever could be. As I prepared this week, I'm nearly done, I came across a story about an Irish preacher. He was called W.P. Nicholson, and he preached in the first half of the 20th century. Now, this man preached to the shipbuilding men of Belfast, most famously in a place called Harland and Wolff. You know when you see the big cranes? That's Harland and Wolff. As I read about him this week, he strikes me as a bit of a fire and brimstone sort of character. Okay? And people would often say after his sermons, you could almost smell the sense of sulfur in the air. Such was his preaching. But he insisted that these men turn from their sin and find forgiveness in Jesus. Thousands of men came to faith in the Lord Jesus in Belfast. And as a result of their turning to Jesus, one of the things these men often did as a sign that Jesus was now Lord was return to the shipyard all the tools that they'd nicked. At Harland and Wolff, they had to build what was called the Nicholson Shed. It was a warehouse. Huge, big thing. They've got pictures of it. For all the tools these men took back when they came to faith in Jesus. Isn't that amazing? You see, receiving Jesus as Lord has practical consequences. It was true for Zacchaeus. It was true for those shipbuilders in Belfast. It's true for us. We'll never outgive the Lord Jesus. Titus is going to come. He's going to come and lead us in a prayer of response to what we've heard from God's word this morning. Titus.
Let's pray. Father, Lord, we want to thank you for this morning. Thank you for the challenging word that we received today, Lord. Father, our heart has been exposed, Father, Lord, about the things that we've done, knowingly and unknowingly. Father, we just want to come before your throne of grace and ask for repentance. Father, Lord, where we've done things, without realizing, Father, Lord. Father, we pray, Lord, that we have the right response and do the right thing, Father, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for that you're the Savior who's always looking for us. Father, we pray, Lord, that we will respond to you and come and ask for forgiveness, Father. Father, thank you for dying for our sins. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being there for us, Lord. Father, we pray that we will just turn and work with our hands and learn to give and be generous, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, because because the salvation that you have offered us, Lord. Father, Lord, change us. Change our hearts, Lord. Help us to work. Help us to give. Help us, Lord, to repent of our sins, Lord. You know, even things like, as Doogie said this morning, streaming music without realizing, watching, borrowing people's Netflix password, all that is stealing, Father. Father, I pray, Lord, we will change us from today and do the right thing. We'll pay our taxes. We'll pay our TV licenses. And we just turn from our ways, Lord. Challenge us, Father, Lord, when we're doing things that is not unto you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.